If Timothy is called to speak the truth, it's because Timothy's hearers are called to know the truth. Even though today, church leaders, i.e. emergent church leaders, say, look, we're in postmodern America. You can't really know for certain what is the truth. And if you say you know the truth, it's a very arrogant position to take.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection.
And today here on The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues to examine how believers can live out God's plan for their lives. You know, a slippery slope can be tons of fun, especially when it's covered in snow and you're ready for some sledding, snowboarding, or skiing. Now, unfortunately, when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible, too many think a slippery slope is okay. And in today's teaching, Skip reveals what happens when we start to compromise on the truths of God's Word. Now, before we get started today, here's how he wants to help make your Bible study times become more rich and dynamic.
Parenting really can be one of the hardest jobs in the world, especially when it comes to teaching your kids about the Lord. But it doesn't have to be. Skip explains why in his new Skip's Tips, titled Say, Play, and Pray, where he shares an easy and practical way you can introduce your kids or even grandkids to God and the Bible. For any donation amount to The Connection, we'll send you your very own copy of Say, Play, and Pray. We'll also send you Skip's popular book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, which is great for anyone looking to deepen their personal Bible study. And one of the best things you can do as a parent is be rooted in God's Word, dedicated to raising your kids God's way, and we here at The Connection are committed to helping you do that. Order today for any donation amount by going to connectiononline.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888. Call now.
And we're so thankful to hear from our listeners about how this ministry has helped renew their passion for God's Word. So if you have a story to share, or if you want to share a prayer request or a praise report, email us at mystory@connectiononline.org or write to us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, once you begin to slide down a slope, it's difficult to stop and can be potentially dangerous. Stay tuned today to find out how we can keep our feet on the level ground of sound doctrine, right here on The Connection.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
We continue our study in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So as you find that place in your Bible, let's join Skip Heitzig for the start of our study today.
Okay, picture this. Picture a man standing on the edge of a cliff, only he's blind, but he's on the edge of a cliff, and he's asking for direction. He's asking which way he should go. He's up on a cliff. One step could mean his death. And he doesn't exactly know where he is, so he cries out, which direction should I go in? Now, you're down below. You're watching and hearing this. And somebody next to you in the crowd says this, it doesn't matter which way you go as long as you're sincere. What are you going to tell the guy who's yelling out? You're going to say, you be quiet. Because at this point, information is vital. And the right information is vital. It's not about sincerity. It's about truth at that point. I'm going to read to you a memo. This is from a school superintendent to the assistant superintendent. And here is the memo. Next Thursday morning at 10:30, Halley's Comet will appear over this area. This is an event which occurs only once every 75 years. Call the school principals and have them assemble their teachers and classes on their athletic fields and explain this phenomenon to them. If it rains, then cancel the class's observation and have the classes meet in the auditorium to see a film about the comet. That's the original memo, the original information from the director, the superintendent, to the assistant superintendent. But this is now a memo from the assistant superintendent to the principal, so it gets skewed a little bit. By the order of the superintendent of schools, next Thursday at 10:30, Halley's Comet will appear over your athletic field. If it rains, then cancel the day's classes and report to the auditorium with your teachers and students, where you will be shown films, a phenomenal event which occurs only once every 75 years. Okay, now it passes from the principals to the teachers, and it comes out this way. By the order of the phenomenal superintendent of schools, at 10:30 Thursday, Halley's Comet will appear in the auditorium. In the case of rain over the athletic field, the superintendent will give another order, something which occurs only once every 75 years. Okay, now it passes from the teachers to the students, and it comes out this way. Next Thursday at 10:30, the superintendent of schools will appear in our school auditorium with Halley's Comet, something which occurs only once every 75 years. If it rains, the superintendent will cancel the comet and will order us out to our phenomenal athletic field. Okay, and there's one more pass, and this time it's from the students to the parents, and it sounds a little bit different. When it rains next Thursday at 10:30 over the school athletic field, the phenomenal 75-year-old superintendent of the schools will cancel all classes and appear before the school in the auditorium, accompanied by Bill Haley and the Comets. Once information leaves its original source, it can deteriorate quite rapidly. It can be skewed each time it's told. And anybody who teaches the Bible, preaches the truth, opens up the book to convey truth, wants to make sure that what is spoken is as close to the original sense as is possible. Years ago, under the ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a name that you have heard many times, he was in the Victorian era of London, England. The last 4 years of his life, he was embroiled in a controversy known as the downgrade controversy. If you've read about Spurgeon, that's a familiar term, the downgrade controversy. And the downgrade controversy was Charles Spurgeon warning England, his church, and the union that he was a part of, about the danger of moving away from the truth, about the slippery slope of moving away from the truth. The downgrade controversy. Spurgeon pictured historic Christianity as the pinnacle of a mountain, and one false step in the wrong direction and you're on the slippery slope. Last week we touched on some of the issues regarding the truth. We began in this passage of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we spoke about this emergent church that is on the rise, and we even mentioned the World Council of Churches that have been around for a long time, and liberalism and relativism, etc. But the real problem is not the emergent church. The real problem isn't the World Council of Churches or liberalism or all of that. Those are just symptoms. The real problem is the demand that creates the supply. It's what we want, what we value, what's most important to us that creates the supply. Do we want pure truth, or do we just want to feel good about ourselves and the condition we're in? Understand that when Paul wrote to Timothy, we mentioned last week, the church was already on the downgrade. They were already on the slippery slope. There's enough language in both 1 and 2 Timothy to indicate that there was a departure, a falling away from the truth. And there was something else going on that I want to throw in to color the background. There was a persecution unlike the church had ever known before at that time. See, 2 Timothy was probably written about AD 67. A few years before this letter was written, AD 64, there was a huge fire that destroyed large portions of the city of Rome. Some people said that it was Caesar Nero who lit the fire. Caesar Nero wanted a scapegoat. He wanted to blame it on somebody who was already ill seen in the eyes of people, so he blamed the Christian church. And that spawned a series of several persecutions en masse, killing of believers in Rome that they had never known before. Now that is starting to spill out into other parts of the empire. So Christians are wanting to be less overt. They want to soften the message. They don't want to step up to the plate and amp up the message. No, what they want to do is take a lower profile. So one of the things Paul is doing for young Timothy is saying, Timothy, listen, God placed you in Ephesus. This is not the time to tone it down. This is the time, if anything, to amp it up and preach the word. So we begin this week in verse 2, because we didn't really finish it last week. We looked at verse 1 and 2, but we didn't really make it through all of it. Let's look at it this way. We have a call to know the truth. We are called as Christians to know the truth. And so in verse 2, Paul says, preach the word. We already saw what that is last week. Chapter 2, verse 15, it means the word of truth. Chapter 3, verse 16, it's the scriptures that God has given. Preach the word. Well, if Timothy is called to speak the truth, it's because Timothy's hearers are called to know the truth. Even though today church leaders, i.e. emergent church leaders, say, look, we're in postmodern America. You can't really know for certain what is the truth. And if you say you know the truth, it's a very arrogant position to take. I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned that the only acceptable religion today is to say, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything you want as long as you're sincere. That's the mantra. Just be sincere, believe anything you want. Oh, really? Ask that blind man on the precipice if sincerity is all he needs. Or what if you went to a doctor and the doctor diagnosed you as having a malignant tumor, and you're shocked, and you say, doctor, what do I do? And the doctor said, well, you could just go home and kick your feet up and watch Oprah all day. Or I could operate on it. Either way, it doesn't matter, as long as you're sincere. You'd say, excuse me, you're a quack. And Paul is noticing that there are spiritual quacks giving wrong direction to people who need right direction. Timothy, preach the word. There was a Christian school, and the teacher asked the students to take a test. It wasn't a written test. It was a verbal test. She would ask the question. They would write the answers. And the teacher said, first question, what is false doctrine? What is false doctrine? Well, to one little boy's ears, the word doctrine, he thought of a doctor. Doctoring. So he thought of false doctrine, false. So he wrote down, false doctrine is when a doctor gives the wrong stuff to people who are sick. That's a really good definition, even a false doctrine in the biblical sense. Preach the word. We saw last week, preach, keruso, means to give an authoritative proclamation. Even though leaders, as I said, and the emergent church say there's no way to know that, to do that, and they call it a conversation. Let's have a dialogue, a conversation. We'll never really maybe come to the knowledge of the truth, but we'll talk about it. We'll have a conversation. It's all about the conversation. Well, in your minds, go back to the Ten Commandments. Was that a conversation? No, it wasn't a dialogue. It was a monologue. God gave his word. He revealed his word. The Sermon on the Mount, that wasn't a conversation. That was a monologue. Jesus spoke about the kingdom, how to enter the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom. When the prophets came on the scene and said, thus saith the Lord, that wasn't a conversation. This is what God says. When Paul wrote his letters, like Timothy or Galatians or Ephesians, wasn't a conversation. He It was the revealed word of the Lord, the truths for those churches. In fact, I remember back in the scripture to a conversation that took place in the garden with Satan and Eve, and it didn't turn out very well. It wasn't a good conversation. So preach the word denotes absolute truth. Well, it goes on, be ready in season and out of season. You could translate that, Timothy, when it's convenient or when it's inconvenient. When it's in season and it's tolerated, or when it's out of season and it's not tolerated. Let's face it. Preaching the word of God is out of season these days. That's what the experts are saying. It's too isolating. It's too rigid. It's too authoritative. I remember my dad, he was a hunter. He'd talk about seasons. He'd say, it's elk season. It's not gospel preaching season. So Timothy, be ready whether it's fashionable or not. Don't go with the climate of opinion. Then notice also in verse 2, Paul gives the tone of the preaching of the word. He says, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Three words. Convince, rebuke, exhort. The first two are negative. The third one, is positive. The word convince means to correct misbehavior or false doctrine. The word rebuke means to bring one to repentance. I put those on the negative side of the column, as opposed to exhort, which means encourage, help along, instruct with gentleness. So here's the tone of preaching the word, young Timothy. You need to be tough and you need to be tender. You need the balance of both of those things together. Convince, rebuke, as well as exhort. I was in a store several months back in North Carolina. I think it was a Borders Books and Tapes. I knew it was a bookstore. I was wandering through the books and there was a large display of one of the latest Christian best-selling books. And I won't tell you the guy who wrote it or the title because just saves a lot of hassle. But one guy was talking to a gal in front of this huge display, this latest book, and he said, you got to buy this book. And this really helped frame this whole issue for me. You got to buy this book because, the man said, this guy won't tell you that you need to change, that you need to turn from sin. And what he'll do is he'll just tell you all of the things that are already good about you. I thought, boy, that helps really understand the whole importance of this text. Preach the word. After last week's message, the last several weeks, I've gotten so many positive reports, positive feedback. That was great. Keep it up. Great message. But I did get one note that was interesting. It said, Skip, I like your teaching. I've liked your teaching for a while, but it sounds now like you're preaching. And I found it humorous simply because the text we're reading from says, preach the word. It was just an interesting day to get that. And he said, I think that you should be focusing more on the positive teachings of Jesus. I understand that, but when I read it, I smiled and I thought of what Stuart Briscoe used to say to young ministers. He said, here's the qualifications for being a pastor. You need the mind of a scholar, you need the heart of a child, and you need the hide of a rhinoceros. Because I really, frankly, honestly, not arrogantly, but honestly, I don't care what anybody thinks about what I preach, except one, and that's God, right? Isn't that the way we ought to live? And so I'm thinking of that conversation in the bookstore that this guy will just tell you all the good things that are right about you. You don't have to change. And now let me boil it down to the bottom line. God loves you the way you are, but God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And anytime we read truth, it's going to confront us with the need in some area to bring change. So the mandate, preach the word, and here's the tone. Now look at verse 3 and 4. If the first one is the call to know the truth, then verse 3 and 4 tell us the consequences of neglecting the truth. For the time will come, and now he's predicting, he's being futuristic. It's a prophetic utterance. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, you may have noticed that Paul does this very thing a few different places in the New Testament. That is, he's speaking about the present, but then he'll move into the future and he'll say, because I see what's coming down the line. There's a time coming that you need to be ready for. For instance, in Acts chapter 20, he does this. He gathers around him the Ephesian leadership, the elders of Ephesus, the very church that Timothy was pastoring. And Paul says before them, Acts 20, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing this flock. And also from among your own selves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. In 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, the first verse, now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith and give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, or demonically inspired teaching. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And there's a whole list in that description, among which says, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So here's Paul writing verse 3 and 4, and he sees this happening in the church. They will not endure sound doctrine.
We're in a society who likes to have it our way, but that cannot be the case concerning doctrine. When it comes to absolute truth, it's either God's way or the highway. That may sound harsh, but any other option will put us on a slippery slope that will only end in disaster. That's all the time we have for today, but before we leave, here's Skip and his wife Lenya to expand a bit more on this topic. Lenya?
Today's teaching, we learned how the early church was called to preach God's truth and to watch out for false teaching. You know, if you are going to say you won the Super Bowl, I kind of want to see a ring. And when my doctor says he's practicing medicine, there better be a diploma on the wall,
yeah.
Right? And there are a lot of people who impersonate things. There are people who impersonate prophets and to be men of God, and they're not. And we need to look out for the next generation of believers and help them to know the truth from a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we do that?
Well, we can know the truth. You know, the old analogy of bank tellers that study real money rather than all of the fakes, because once they know what's real and a fake tries to impose itself, they can spot it. So we have to be so familiar with truth that when error comes, we go, that's not quite right. And I've always loved the story where Jesus overhears a conversation of the religious leaders talking to the disciples, and Jesus walks up to them and said, what are you talking to them about? Not that he didn't know, but he called them into account and was very careful that if you're telling something to my disciples, I want to know about it. And I do know about it. Mm. And I love that kind of a shepherd, because I think a good shepherd, you know, David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The staff is comforting because it guides the sheep. The rod is comforting to a sheep because it beats up wolves.
Well, Jesus also said it's better that you have a millstone tied around your neck thrown into the sea if you deceive my people.
That sounds so mafioso, doesn't it? I mean, it's like that's how seriously he took it. That as a good shepherd, he would watch out for the flock and keep away the wolves. And I think any good shepherd, you know, needs to do that, needs to be aware that there are false teachings and erroneous ways to take truth and twist it. Twist it for one's own personal benefit, for money's sake, or to further an agenda. And shepherds need to feed their flock, and Christians need to eat good food and not just swallow anything that comes their way.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya, for those tips on keeping aware. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, The Slippery Slope, just visit connectiononline.org/radio or call us at 1-800
972-1888 to order today's message on CD for just $6. We are so blessed when we hear from our listeners who have grown in their spiritual walk because of this ministry. And you can be part of this work when you partner with us. Find out more about that at connectiononline.org/give. And if the teaching today equipped you with God's solid truth, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org. And tomorrow, we'll continue our series, Homeland Security, and examine the Lord's command to nurture truth in our daily lives. So we hope you can join us right here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.